I don't need quiver over that. But I know, I'm saying to you, right. Here, I'm saying to you that you have a situation as critical as it is. And you feel proud to say, I tell them come home because the other people are there. But the other people are not there to buy the trucks. The people are not there in the negotiation with those that you send. The other people are not there to make the decision. And you tell them come home and you feel smart about that. And here you are, that people outside of your place there, what you just said happened. And you know what I noticed?
You know that was happening for a long time, though.
But yeah, but I think you might have overlooked
this. You know that we didn't complain about this for the first time since the government changed.
You know what? I thought that, yeah, so that you probably forgot and missed that. You should have asked him.
About
you
what? Didn't,
you probably overslipped you. What have you done about the person who's supposed to have moved the skit? Because remember, he said it's not their problem. It is the people who are supposed to move the skit who's caused it. What have they done, or are they doing, or who hired them to bring the skit, whoever that company is? And what did you do concerning the company that neglected their responsibility?
I suspect that when you look back at comments that you would have raised and stuff, you know, when you change a government, it is interesting to listen to the questions that a person will raise in one administration versus what they raise in another.
But if they came up, if the same thing had come up, I don't remember.
You don't remember it. I know, because garbage only started to pile up since the government changed on May the 24th.
It says, no way would you say something like that.
Because you didn't remember it happening before.
No. I think you're doing me an injustice.
But that's what you just said.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do something like that. But I'm saying to you that I heard you said already.
I want to be... The only point I'm making to you on this, and I think that if you listen to us here, I think most of us, there may be variations from time to time, but most of us try to be consistent in what we say. And that is that if we talk about garbage today, you need to go back. And if you had to go back and check, you would see that if the problem has been there before, we were talking about it before. We were calling for action then. We call for action now. We give the government a breathing space, a period in which it can implement its mission critical areas and issues. However, we are not going to lose sight of the fact that the problem exists. And even if we sought to lose sight of it, people like you will never allow us to do so. So there's a lot of consistency on our part.
And none on mine.
I don't know. I don't remember you raising these issues this way. And I know that I got to take into consideration the fact that when you love a group of people who represent a party, it can influence the way that you react to a problem.
Let me remind you of one thing that I remember you saying. You said to the other party, if you know something is wrong, fix it. It's your responsibility. I would like you to remember that.
I will always remember it, because if the Barbados Labour Party, having taken office on the 24th of May, and they come and spend the next 5 years telling us all that the Dems did wrong and do nothing about it, it can't make sense to come to me 5 years or 4 years later and tell me, oh, I can't fix the problem because I inherited it. It is nonsense.
I guarantee it can happen.
Well,
anyway,
we have to hold, look, this country is a far more mature country than it was 30 years ago. And I would expect that the kind of gobbledygook and balderdash that people have come to us with in recent times. Sometimes, I told you already, some of the arguments have made me feel as though I've been insulted. I expect that if you have a problem and you can't get it fixed and stuff, the way that you're going to argue the point will make me say, well, at least there's some merit in that. You know, but sometimes There's a fellow, a friend of mine used to describe it as jejun. These namby-pamby ways of trying to get out of a problem and stuff. And when you finish, you feel as though, but you really think I'm an idiot? If you come and argue the point properly. Go and do some homework and come and argue the point properly. So we don't, that's all your a lot of people ask for that, you know. They may disagree with you at the end of the day, but at least they respect the argument that you have presented. You understand?
Yeah, next time that you speak to one of the authorities, ask them, see if you can get from them, how old are these trucks, second-hand trucks that they're hoisting on the nation?
That they're what? That they're hoisting or foisting?
No, listen to me. How old are they?
But they will get around.
They'll get around to telling us.
And we will certainly get around to asking.
Don't wait until they get around to answer you.
But you can ask the question yourself. But you've just asked the question.
Because in my view, new trucks are better. Because if you have a problem with these now, you're still going to end up the same way.
But you know,
that's my view.
New trucks or old trucks?
Yeah.
A big issue is maintenance of trucks.
Yeah.
And if we are going to maintain the trucks, how are we going to maintain them? I think it is important to ask and to get the answer to this question.
Yeah.
What is the structure for maintaining? I mean, you've just come in as a government, so you have to assess that. You have to determine whether the government is going to continue to try to manage the maintenance itself, what ratio is going to be private, and what ratio is going to be public. This transport board, for instance, there has to be a discussion about UCAL and the relationship with it, its structure. We have felt as though UCAL has been hobbled by the fact that the government or the transport board owed it a lot of money. If you address that, could UCAL be viable? Could UCAL look after not only transport board, but could it look after the SSA? These are the issues that we have to face. All right? I want to point out to you that those questions are being asked irrespective of who is the government of the day, which party runs Barbados.
Let me say this to you. I want it to be known by one and all. I've said it already. I'm a Barbadian. I don't want to live anywhere else. Now, you wouldn't, because myself, I meet people every day, tourists, and I can tell you that when I greet them or we greet them, they love Barbados and they say we are fortunate. And I give a good report about my country. I live here. And I want to say that I want to see our government do well, because it is my government, and if they do well, I say thank God for that. And listen to me, I pray for the government and for the Prime Minister and every minister of government, every day when they pray.
I believe that. You pray for your government one way, but you pray for your party even more.
To do otherwise, we care about Barbados.
You accept what I've just told you?
Well, no, I didn't hear that one.
That you pray for your government, that is true. But you pray for your party even more.
Yes, you know why? Because then right now, they are in a process of rebuilding. And I pray for them, because there's a new leadership now who would need the wisdom and the understanding and the guidance of God to guide her. So therefore, we need to do that, wouldn't I? If I did anything otherwise, something would ruin my head.
Well, you recognize I know you very well, therefore.
But no, but remember, there's always room for improvement.
All right, have a good afternoon. Nice to hear you. Down to brass tacks. Somebody is suggesting here that the offices of the Barbados Revenue Authority ought to all have free Wi-Fi. I think that would make a difference to the people who have to do their various tasks associated with the Barbados Revenue Authority. I think it's worth looking at. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, David.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, before I start, I want a private conversation with you. No phone. I want to discuss a matter with you. Okay. Sometime, the last time we met and talked face-to-face was prior to the election, but I got a face-to-face matter to discuss with you, and you could tell me when we could get together. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me go on. I must thank VOB because it is on this program that I made my contribution pertaining to Andrew's Factory. You recall that very much.
Yes.
Today, I am well satisfied with it myself. The only thing that I am dissatisfied with is the destruction of the plant. But I want to continue to make my submission to the representative of St. Joseph. Since the abandonment of that project, I was also asking for that field that they took up, to be given to the residents as a place that they could come together, put up a little pavilion or something, because that community suffered heavily between Fisher Pond and Andrews. There's a connecting force of these people who work around that plantation and who, I would say, they were tenants of the same owner. So with the abandonment of the factory, that place, you would recall where they used to fly kite. The other one is the DeSales plant. You remember I made contribution on this air pertaining to those plants, and I said it was costly to the government and they were not necessary. I today, I'm satisfied for what I did as far as single-handedly. I am not surprised to hear your last caller asked about the voice of these people now that complimenting the Prime Minister for what she have done pertaining to Andrew's Factory. I was out there on my own fighting. You'd never hear a word came from those people. When I said it was not, I was abused by politicians in Parliament, abused by politicians outside of Parliament, telling me because I bought a wrong factory, I know about factory, and they also tell them they're going to be a white elephant. Who going to cut down the River Tamburin trees now that plant crossed the belt, David? I mean, David? Huh?
I don't know.
I will let you the said, former you, minister, the you chairman, said, to go there.
You said David
they
twice, so.
To cut down them manually as pertaining to giving back satisfaction to the taxpayers of this country. And last but not least, yes, we abandoned the factory. We abandoned that program. But what I would like to know is the cost of that project.
Yeah, I would be keen to get a better understanding of all that went on with that project. Because if there's one thing that must be said, we were not properly updated on it. The government of the day went about its business and it did not report to the public adequately on what was happening with that project. And as a result, it left a lot of doubt and suspicion in people's minds. And that's one of the projects that we need to hear about.
Yes, I am not going to rest. I am not going to rest until I hear the cost of the damage that was done to that facility.
But you see, we are in the realm of quid pro quo. In other words, if you give me something, I have to give you something in return, because some people have been left in a very strong position in this country. Remember this. So much so that the only way you got to have this environment of trying to get what is called using moral suasion to get people to back off of this and back off of that. So that is why you are going to see that some people who might have been heavily criticized by the current administration in opposition are still going to be players at the table, because they were strengthened considerably in the last 10 years. So they can laugh all the way to the bank because they will say, but you know, I can give you this. But remember, let's leverage this against that. You'd be surprised to discover, for instance, that some of the things that were highly controversial in Barbados actually got approval and we weren't told.
Exactly.
So they were empowered. And it is trying to redress that kind of imbalance while at the same time saying to people who are potential players, and I speak specifically about the majority of the people in this country, because Barbados has been developed along a path that has made it seem as though only a certain group of people are in a position to get anything and to do anything unless you are a professional. All right? So that we need to bring other people along. I look at, I may walk through places like Roebuck Street. Have you walked through Roebuck Street recently? Have you seen the nighttime is not the best time to walk through Roebuck Street. Walk through Roebuck Street a Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And look at the explosion of business on Roebuck Street. The many people who believe, and there are predominantly now, black Barbadians who have taken over that street. Swan Street, to a large extent, has become like that, even though that has to be watched in terms of how it is being developed, because soon for now, if you're not careful, they won't be selling any clothes in Swan Street, and it will be turned into something like Probin Street Market. We'll be selling all vegetables. But the point I'm making to you is that there's a time now to Barbados is still in need of economic enfranchisement, you know.
But David, don't judge Swan Street. Again, let a cattle be back.
No, talk
the
to me.
Majority of those buildings that you see in Swan Street
are owned by
of Roebuck Street are not owned by black people.
That's fair enough. But the business,
I tell you something that I observe, and a lot of people in this country, they could only see through one eye. But even where, you know, I usually stay to do my little business, you will come on that beach and you see the black fellas up and down the sea with these Hobie cats and these boats. You know, they don't belong to them. They belong to a group that has taken over this country. I remember the days when I had a Ford car and I would have to travel to Goodridge, fix it right. And those saw a department that was selling car parts. David, check and see who have the market. I went the other day to buy some parts from a particular place, and I asked them, where? Why don't I see no black people in here? And you know the majority of them in there, when they're bringing them in, they can't speak English. I know where they're looking, telling me, Barbadians don't want work. And all these years, Barbadians were selling car parts.
Okay, just ask. Let me tell you this, though. There are many people who are selling car parts in Barbados, and many of them are black. This is not.
I know about that.
You don't know about it.
You listen. I am calling the names, but I can tell you. You do your research. No, we just converse.
The business. You told me that the properties are sometimes occupied by the black business people, but owned by other people. So you're trying to say to me that all of these small players, and not so small, because there's some well-established parts player sellers of car parts in Barbados.
Exactly, in this country, no, very much so.
Who are not? Who are black?
There are many
who are black.
I can argue with you.
Well, when you see me next time,
yeah, we can
talk. When you have that private conversation, enlighten me, okay? Because
yes.
I am open to being guided on it, all right?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.
You do too. Yes. Somebody says here that they should install cameras by the market to catch the dumpers. But perhaps what may be required is that you may have to have somebody stationed there for a while to try to reduce that. It may be necessary, but then that person, it would have to be guarded 24 hours a day, because I can tell you that it is a place that people go and dump stuff, it seems, all hours of the night too. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
You sound as though you're in a fighting mood today.
Very cool. Miss Ellis, there's a gentleman who does call Brass Tacks almost every day. And I think he's very, very strong, because to me, everyone is being on the attack where he's concerned.
Is that you?
I mean, it's everybody. I mean, moderators.
Is that you?
Okay, let's say it was me biting me. Now, this morning, I heard him having a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And you told the gentleman he tried to pull a fast one on you. Do you remember that gentleman?
Can't remember which one. So it's many the of them try that sometimes.
Is the gentleman...
That shares the same political opinion as you?
He said that he works with a gentleman called Canterbury or something. So
I don't remember. I don't know.
Oh, okay, let me tell you what he mentioned. And you told him that you want to put a fast one on you.
Mm-hmm.
He told you that he understand that there are persons from out of the country, UK or somewhere, so, who is advising the Ministry of Finance where the economy is concerned.
Yes, and I asked him to tell me more about it. He made a very general accusation that there are these advisors from abroad, and I asked him for specifics.
But I believe...
You have the specifics?
I don't have it directly because with all former opposition leader and all prime minister at the moment, she say things and disrupt them and nobody questions her. So you don't get details that you could go along with it. Let me give you an idea of what I'm speaking about. The first time I hear about this economic person from the UK or wherever it is helping the Ministry of Finance, I heard it from the leader of the opposition in Parliament. And he asked the Minister of Finance to explain to him who is these persons, how much they are being paid, and etc. You ever heard that conversation?
I can't remember that.
Okay. The opposition leader raised it in the House Assembly.
Right.
Because I didn't know that had persons there working within the Ministry of Finance helping the government with the economic problems. But the opposition leader wants to know who are there and what it costs.
No, there's the thing about Whitewater or something like that.
I don't know what it's about.
No, there was about a company. Come on. That was a company that the government had spoken about very early as assisting it as it relates to the whole question of debt rescheduling and that sort of thing. I think, in all fairness, if you're going into a program such as this, you want to work with a company that has been involved in this process and can help guide you. That is what I understand it was all about.
The gentleman that you told him that he was putting the fast one, that is the word that he was going.
He wasn't as specific as you. He left it wide open. If he said to me specifically on this question of, put it the way that you did, then I could easily zero in on it as that. But he left it wide open.
No, but what I'm saying is, when the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, got up to reply to the opposition leader, she said, yes, they were here and they'll be back within a week or so. And I will see to it that you...
That they could have a conversation with them. I remember that particular comment.
You remember the gentleman first?
Pardon?
But that's what he was speaking about too.
But he wasn't specific.
He didn't pull
so he left it wide open.
He didn't pull the
and let me say this to you. I left it open to him to be more specific.
Okay then. We covered there then that he didn't
I can't be guessing on his behalf. You gotta tell me exactly what he's talking about.
Okay, number two. I would like saying people like myself. You don't do it to me because you know as the sign easy. But when certain people call that, I don't know if the Democrats like me, I know if the Blondies, they're loving people like me. But if their language really ain't against the Democrat Labour Party, you just got it to the bone away, Miss Ellis.
Listen, just stop and think, because sometimes your filter causes you to see things a particular way. The Minister of the Environment was outside there just now. I asked him to come into the studio. I asked him a couple of questions, and when he was finished, he suggested that he was trying to make it a little challenging for him. I go with the flow. I always go with the flow.
That was a good interview you had with him.
Yeah, but you see, it's a question of interpretation.
No,
I go with the flow.
You didn't ask him no embarrassing, nothing.
But I didn't ask you any either.
You ask questions to help inform the public.
But I don't ask you embarrassing questions either. And the people who call us, no, I don't ask them embarrassing questions.
Now, this is the third time that I hear him tell you, oh, Mr. Ellis, don't do that to me. for you.
Oh, come on. What you're doing. Listen to me. Because he reacts that way does not mean that he really is being put in an environment where he is being embarrassed. That he, a minor question could embarrass him. The question I put to you can cause him to behave in a way that you don't behave. But you think it's because you're tougher.
To satisfy me.
Yes.
The gentleman that just spoke to you, the stats man, and Patrick King, I want you to dress them the same.
Well, don't listen. Let's recognize this. What you're saying is not really true, because there are times when the stats man will call me and I would say to him, but you cannot support what you have just said. It does not matter whether you support the BLP or the DLP. At the end of the day, I am here trying to deal with the people in the middle who want to be educated and want to be informed. I'm not interested in your BLP, DLP nonsense.
Let's go on.
Let me say this. A few bank cards were left on a Route 3 minivan this morning. The passenger disembarked at Westbury Road Junction and is asking that anyone finding them, that person should call Starcom Network Inc. at River Road at this number, 430-7300. That's some bank cards left on a Route 3 minivan this morning. No, a gentleman met me yesterday outside the station and said that he lost a bag with some stuff from his car, and he was supposed to send me information that I have not yet seen, so that I could seek to assist him by putting whatever information I could on the air. Yes, sir, you were saying.
Now, the next one. Mm-hmm. Now, my former Minister of Finance, who I think took a lot of unnecessary blows, especially from Brad Staff, when he introduced the 25% tipping fee, this program and all over this country, a person's calling, gave me the impression that the illegal dumping was because of that $25. Can you help me with causing it all now? Because that $25 is no longer there. What could be causing it now, Miss Ellis?
A culture. Because it was the tipping there is also one angle to that you will obviously disagree with. But if you create an environment where a practice starts to grow, then it takes a while before it is reversed. And people will continue to do what they were doing until and unless there is some significant sanction against it. So the tipping fee could have influenced more people to behave in the way that they continue to behave. But I don't want to put all of the blame on any tipping fee. I think that Barbadians generally need to, you know, address this problem and to recognize that the whole country is threatened by it. We need, you know, all the plastic. You see this styrofoam stuff? I mean, it is ridiculous. Something has to be done about it. And therefore, I want to hear more from the minister responsible for the environment as to how Barbados is going to tackle these problems. Thank you all very much for being a part of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And thanks to Dennis Johnson for assisting me in today's production as well. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.